Right now, Bruce is here for Sports Lit 101. And again, this looks like a very interesting collection of just right-sized tales.
Yeah, they're all between 7 and 10 pages long. They're not college professor books. They have a few footnotes here and there. But what they do is they bring us back to moments that we might have forgotten or that we might have learned incorrectly or someone has a new spin on. And that's why the subtitle is called The Most Iconic Moments in American Sports. And just run through a couple of what they are. There's Abner Doubleday and the invention of baseball. I think we're all pretty well know he didn't invent baseball, but we don't know who did, and we know that some of the people who promulgated that myth did so for a reason. The Stars and Stripes at the Olympic Games starts with Billy Koch's decision to follow American protocol and not dip the flag. And most people, if you ask them when that began, they'll tell you, oh, that's the Jesse Owens Olympics. No. Began well before that. And one of the flag carriers in England in the early part of the last century was going to do it, but all the Irish guys on the team said, if you want to live, if you want to have all the parts you came over here with, you better not dip that flag to any earthly king. So a lot of this examination of the Black Sox scandals. One of the ones that I found most fascinating was by Maureen Smith, who we had on with Rita Liberty when their book they wrote, Reimagining Wilma Rudolph, which won a number of awards. She has an article in here on Althea Gibson. You know, we think of Althea Gibson as being, if you ask people who's Althea Gibson, they'll say, well, she's the first African-American woman to win a Grand Slam in tennis. Yeah, she's the first African-American to win a Grand Slam in tennis. She was well ahead of Arthur Ashe, well ahead of the Williams sisters, and she dedicated her life post-playing career to getting more African-American children involved in tennis, and it really isn't until the Williams sisters come along any of that bears fruit. There's a great article in here by a friend of the show, Dick Crapo. I would love to have him and Upton Bell in the same room to discuss this. Dick would argue that the greatest football game ever played may well not have been the Giants-Colts game for the title. There's the Marisol Roseboro Brawl and its coverage, which is really interesting how the Latin press covered it differently than the American press. That one, I will admit, I have not. I haven't read all these because we have some of these people coming up. A great one by Travis Vogan, who's going to join us next week, The Birth of ESPN, A Sport Junkie's Nirvana. It'd be a great time to talk to him with Ryan Russillo leaving and Skipper leaving and Esty, one of the founders, dying. But really, I thought for me, there were two that were completely outstanding. One is by a guy named Stephen Hardy, who is an extremely well-known writer about hockey. Remembering and Forgetting America's Hockey Miracles, How Easily We Forget 1960. And the miracle there of a bunch of guys from War Road, Minnesota, beating the vaunted Soviet team. And how the 1980 Winter Olympic victory was, you know, really in some ways the hype was manufactured in a way that didn't need to be manufactured. And some of the misunderstandings of that and how important the assistant coaches were who could bring the Minnesota and the Boston kids together. But I think perhaps so far of the ones I've read, my favorite is by Dennis Gilday, who we had on, Hoop Crazy, his biography of Claire B. This is called The Rise and Fall of the National Sports Daily. Now, I don't think there'd be an argument in this room that the best daily sports paper ever was the National Sports Daily for the 18 months that it existed.
With our friend Frank DeFord at the helm.
Absolutely. And they go into the whole ethic and the whole way that went about and its demise. But what Dennis really did, I think, was talk about how we got where we are. You know, how when that disappeared, we had lost the kind of sports system. And we don't have a National Sports Daily. England has two. No, Italy has two. England has one. Mexico has one. You know, other developed nations have them because people are wanting to read the long version, not looking for the hot take. They're not looking for the two screaming heads.
Yeah, we have a Fox Sports website that abandoned all written content.
Right. It only has video. Only has video. And I think one of the nicest things that Dennis did was point out all the people who worked with DeFord in the early going. And it's astonishing. The people that left their jobs to hook on with them. Guys like Tony Kornheiser. Got the list here.
Was Tellender? Tellender was part of that group.
Tellender was part of that group. Dave Kindred from the Washington Post, John Feinstein, Mike Lupica, Lee Montville, and Charlie Pierce.
Wow.
I would argue that Boston has had a history of tremendous sports writing. I wouldn't say anybody better than Lee Montville and Charlie Pierce. when and every year when the awards were given out for the best essays by all the people, the best sports essays, in that year and a half they were there, they were killing it. Mm-hmm. They were killing it. And what's so good about this is you can read, if you read one of these a day, right? I don't know how many there are, probably 20. If you read one of these a day, you'd have a month of great sports writing and sports reading. They are so, every one is chosen with care. The writing is absolutely great. And any sports fan, I mean, I'm not big on tennis. The two tennis ones, there's one on Bobby Riggs and Billie Jean King. The great one in here on the Olympic basketball final in 1972. Was it cheating? Was it not cheating? Did the U.S. get jobbed in that or not? And it's all done with a journalist's eye for accuracy as opposed to someone else's eye for sensationalism. It's a very good book. Replays, Rivalries, Rumbles, The Most Iconic Moments in American Sports. It's from the University of Illinois Press. And we will have probably four of the authors on at some point.
Fantastic. Thank you, Bruce.
My pleasure, sir.
Sports Lit 101. Bruce mentioned next week on the show, Travis Vogan, author of ESPN. See if I can remember the title, The Making of a Sports Dynasty.
Yeah. Dynasty like or Empire, one of the two. Yeah, but apparently he has a new book in the works. I got an email from him the other day, but he's become the go-to guy for the really watching ESPN from afar.
No doubt about it. That's coming up here on Downtown Sports Lit 101 every Wednesday afternoon.